This is worth watching. Two more, Chief.
The spirit's coarse, woody taste wasn't exactly pleasant, but J.B. appreciated the warm glow it left as it slipped down his gullet. A woman came into the room from the back of the bar. Moving to the drum beat, she began to strip, slowly. With his attention half focused on the audience, J.B. found it hard to get into what the woman was doing. The effect she had on the crowd was fascinating. They sat at rapt attention.
Enjoying your first night in Duma?
J.B. turned to find Ella May at his elbow, a grin on her face and a glass of liquor in her hand.
Guess you might say that, though I'll wait and see what happens next before I really make up my mind.
I would have thought you could guess that, or at least guess why S brought you here. He likes his jollies a certain way.
On stage, the woman began pleasuring herself.
Dark night.
J.B. found it all a little strange. He had the vague notion that he'd seen some weird sights over the years, even if most of them were lost to him now. But this had to be one of the strangest, simply because he'd never seen it done in a bar.
Not doing much for you?
Can't say it does. But then, I didn't know this was going down. And you, on the other hand, maybe it does for you.
Okay, that makes us even. You got a drink somewhere, and most places have something going on. As it happens, Jessie there is a nice girl when she isn't on stage. But everyone's got to earn Jack.
There must be other ways.
Not under Xander. I'm lucky, and I don't forget that. I can't.
J.B. looked at Ella May. There was a fire in her eyes that was appealing. He found her pretty fascinating. Certainly, if he could trust her, she'd be a good ally. J.B. saw that a drunk had his pants around his knees and was trying to get his flaccid member to respond enough to join the woman's performance. He was so drunk that the woman was able to scramble around and get to her feet. The drummer pulled a length of metal pipe from the front of his pants.
Shit, boy, it'd take three of you to make me happy.
Uh-oh, get ready to fight.
Why, you bitch!
The drunk rose from the floor, nearly tripping over his pants, and flung himself toward the nearly naked woman, lust replaced by rage and humiliation. The drummer stepped between them and swung the metal pipe, connecting with the side of the drunk's head and knocking him sideways, blood splattering from the cut on his temple. The drunk's compadres flung over their table, making for the drummer. But the room was so crowded that in doing that, they clattered into surrounding parties of drunken stone customers, who also responded in kind. One of the customers aimed a punch at the side of JB's head. JB parried with his left arm, blocking the blow, and chopped at the man's windpipe, knocking him back. One of the man's friends tried to swipe at JB with a broken chair leg, but Ella May swung a haymaker that hit the assailant on the point of his jaw, driving him backward. JB looked around, but there was no sign of Esquivel or the other sick men.
Let's head for the door!
Side by side, JB and the female mechanic fought their way out, using their fists and feet to carve a path. They managed to reach the door with only a few glancing blows and spilled out onto the sidewalk with a few drunks who fell in their wake.
Fuck! You sure know how to show a girl good time, don't you?
Ella May's shirt was ripped, and she had a couple of bruises on her cheek and above her left eye, but was otherwise unmarked. JB could feel an ache in his still-mending ribs, and a small cut was opened under one eye, but otherwise any bruises were lost on his still-healing face. He couldn't feel anything fresh.
Where'd you learn to fight like that?
Told you, I'm no one's Gaudy, and some don't like the word no.
Pulling herself upright, Ella May pointed over JB's shoulder.
Here comes your bodyguard, late as usual. S was probably around the back waiting for me to get you out. I'll see you around. Mwah.
She blew JB a kiss before turning and melting into the crowd. JB watched her, then felt a clap on his shoulder. He turned to see more sec men pouring into the bar behind the Hispanic shoulder. Esquivel was bruised with a deep cut over his forehead, staunched by the torn-off sleeve of his shirt. He had a wild gleam in his eyes.
Hey, JB man. Welcome to Duma.
The following morning, Esquivel looked JB up and down as he entered the kitchen. The armorer sat down at the table, and Liza put a plate of food in front of him.
Ho, ho, ho! Man, look at the state of you this morning.
Don't you ever want your pretty face to heal up and give us the benefit of your good looks?
Yeah, ha ha, very funny. You don't look so great yourself, Es.
Esquivel had a bandage tied around his forehead and a swollen eye that was a vivid red and purple.
Ain't me you gotta worry about. He's Bud and Ollie. The old guy ain't gonna be happy with you being late and looking so suave.
J.B. ate in silence, pondering this. If he was going to work here, it was important that J.B. bond with Ollie. After he had finished his meal, J.B. and his sex shadow went to the Grin's room, where the old man and his son were at work, transferring a new load of gas grins from the wooden crates in which they'd arrived into the specially built metal cabinets in which Bud stored them.
Well, glad you could be bothered to join us. I'm sorry a little work detracts from your time fighting and womanizing.
Uh-huh. Think what you like.
Ollie said nothing as J.B. walked over to the crate and picked up one of the grins. It was of a type he'd seen before, a U.S. Army issue from the mid-20th century. Except they were in the worst condition he'd ever seen. Some of them were unstable, with the metal pins corroding, partly from exposure to moisture, and partly from where the constituents of the gas within were breaking down and eroding through the casing.
Where'd these come from?
A trader named Sims sold them to Xander. Claims he got them from a vill down in the swamps. Guess that would account for the way in which the outers got a little rust and damage.
Man, tell Xander he's been had. And if I was you, I'd get the jack back and get this shit out of here now. The pins are metal, but the casing is a kind of polycarbon. That erosion is where the gas inside is eating it away. Listen, you keep these here, and one of them could go at any time, take the whole place with it if it starts a chain.
The hell it will.
Ollie took the grin from J.B. and examined it.
I figure he might be right. I told you that wasn't any metal. What do you say we put these back very carefully, and you send us over to ask the Baron where Sims is right now?
Bud refused to speak.
Ollie's right. I reckon Xander will want his jack and an explanation. Yes, get a couple of sec men up here to carry these cases. Ones with safe hands, okay?
As Esquivel left the room, Ollie carefully placed the grin back in the box.
Guess we better be triple safe getting the others out of the store. Then I was wondering if you'd give me a little help or something.
Bud left, his anger palpable. Neither J.B. nor Ollie said a word about it. They packed the grins carefully. When four sec men appeared, J.B. directed them on handling the cases, then joined the youth in the lower-level blaster room. As he entered, Ollie was already holding a Heckler & Koch MP5.
This is the blaster I mentioned last night. Thought you might have forgotten after a night out with S. There's something fucked about the firing mechanism, but I can't work out why it jams. Maybe you could take a look at it.
It was a piece of bridge building that J.B. appreciated, and he took the gun from the youth. Examining it, J.B. was able to identify a fault in the MP5, where a small piece of the mechanism had been dented in combat, causing it to catch and jam. The two men stripped the MP5, and J.B. showed Ollie how to effect a running repair on such a fault. How he had acquired the knowledge was still a mystery to him. From there, Ollie took J.B. through the stock that Xander had acquired in this section of the armory. Bud had already shown him this, but J.B. knew the youth was making a gesture. They were in the middle of stripping and reassembling a mini Uzi, with J.B. showing Ollie how to speed up the process, when Esquivel appeared.
Look at these. Pigs in shit. J.B., my man, you're about to learn what justice means in Duma. Xander sent some of the boys out to find the scum who sold him the grins. Fool's still in the veal, they reckon. And there's another little matter he wants you to see to.
I'd forgotten it was today.
Dude, I know Chino was your bud, but he overstepped. Everyone's got Jack here, they can always get a little more. But Xander has to have his part of the action, you know that.
Ollie managed to nod slightly.
We better get going.
J.B. shot a questioning glance at his shadow as Ollie departed. Esquivel shrugged.
Ollie used to play with this guy when he was a kid. You know what I was saying about Jack being everything here? Sometimes it can be harsh. We live well, better than any other vill I've seen. But that has its price.
J.B. followed Esquivel out. As they left the armory compound, J.B. could see that the streets were as full as ever, but this time everyone was headed in the same direction, toward the blacktop that bisected the vill. Thinking about what the sec man had said to him, JB took note of the people around him. It was easy to differentiate between the Vill dwellers and those who were serving on trading convoys. The latter were dirtier, more disheveled, and even at this time of the morning were showing signs of hard drinking. The Vill dwellers were conspicuous in their better clothes and their healthier look, attributes that came from a higher level of living. The way in which the two-lane blacktop bisected the Vill now began to make a lot of sense. Xander, and his father before him, had taken this Vill and built it up, choosing the blacktop and this part of the Dust Bowl deliberately, realizing the potential of having weary convoys traversing the wastelands and needing a little rest and recreation. JB realized what it took to keep Duma this rich, the part he would have to play in this, and the potential cost to himself if he stepped, or even appeared to step, out of line in any way.
Hey, man, you're quiet. What's the problem?
No problem. I just think I'm realizing something.
Uh-huh. Hey, dude, I tried to tell you.
The crowd gathered around the blacktop was densely packed, and it was difficult to make out exactly what was going on. They parted for the sec man and JB. A wag stood in the middle of the blacktop, detached from the enclosures of wags that stood on either side of the ribbon. It was a battered old pre-dark truck that had been reinforced with metal sheeting on either side. Two men stood beside it, one a sec man, recognizable by his uniform. The other man was tall and thin, with long, straggly brown hair. He was unshaven, dressed in a denim shirt that was open to the waist, combat pants that were dusty and stained, and unlaced combat boots. He had a number of pendants hanging around his neck and metal bracelets on each wrist. He looked like he had fouled himself with fear.
That Sims. He's part two of the entertainment.
JB looked at Sims, then along the line of the crowd, the front rows of spectators held by a line of sec guards who stood facing them. JB also saw Ollie. The youth looked pale and drawn, as though he might be sick at any moment. He seemed detached from the crowd. JB knew how he felt. On the far side of the blacktop, the crowd parted in a wave, moving from the back. As the movement rippled nearer the front, JB could see that it was Xander, flanked by Grant. The Baron cut an impressive figure, but the sinister aspect that the gaunt, lame man at his side gave to the procession was portentous. Behind them, hands bound behind his back and attached to a chain by a collar around his neck, was a young man of about Ollie's age. He was shorter, with olive skin and slicked back black hair. His torso was exposed and was covered with welts, open wounds, and bruises. He'd taken a hell of a battering, and he looked only half-conscious as he stumbled after the Baron and Grant, the chain held from behind by one of a pair of sec men, the other of whom was using the barrel of his AK-47 to spur the man on. This had to be Chino. The Baron strode purposefully across the ribbon until he was dead center.
Sims, I want you to see this.
Sims seemed unwilling to move, but the sec man with him gave him a less than friendly prod with his gun. Reluctantly, Sims moved around to face the Baron. Behind Xander, Chino had stumbled onto the blacktop.
People, you know why you are here. This young man has been stupid. We stand together, and we prosper. We try to go alone, and we fall. That was the principle on which my father founded Duma, and it's the principle on which it has prospered. Chino tried to skim Jack off the top before giving me what is Duma's due. Duma's people, you. He skimmed what should come to the Vill, and we all suffer. So he has to be punished.
JB felt like turning away in disgust. Although there was an element of truth to these words, the Baron's hypocrisy was pretty hard to take. At the end of the day, the young man had tried to cheat Xander out of his share and was being punished for trying to keep hold of his own hard-earned Jack. This was the Baron's noble cause. Chino, still dazed from his injuries, was beginning to realize what was happening. He couldn't hold back the stream of urine that trickled down his leg.
This is what happens to those who try to cheat Duma.
Xander took a gun from inside the rich robe he was wearing, JB saw that it was a Luger, a big, heavy handgun that carried a 9mm shell and could do some serious damage at such a short distance. He hoped that Xander would make it quick for the young man, who had now sunk to his knees. But Xander had no such intention. This was for display, to make a point to the assembled crowd. He beckoned to Grant, who kicked Chino in the back, sending him sprawling to the dusty asphalt. The gaunt healer then grabbed the young man by the chain attached to his collar and hauled him to his feet, holding him at arm's length, the chain wrapped around his fist, pulled taut. Xander held the muzzle of his gun a few feet away from the young man's face. Xander lowered the muzzle, so that it was at an angle of less than 45 degrees. Chino's kneecap shattered, and he collapsed onto the asphalt. His upper body thrashed, his neck still pulled up taut by Grant's grip. His legs, below the knees, were useless sticks pointing at strange angles. Xander put shots in each shoulder, pinning the man back to the asphalt. He lay back on the road, gasping for breath, his eyes wide, but unseeing. JB looked for Ollie in the crowd. The youth was still standing at the front, his eyes wide with horror and pity. He swayed slightly as he watched his friend slowly die.
This man went against us. This is how anyone who cheats the people shall fall. First, there is suffering. But I am not an unreasonable man. There shall be a swift relief from such pain.
The Baron stepped up to Chino's quivering body and put the gun against his forehead.
Take this filth away.
Grant stepped away to allow the sec man to drag the body off the ribbon. Ollie was unable to tear his eyes away from the bloodstain. JB started walking towards him.
Where are you going, my man?
Something's got to be done.
As the two men made their way to the shocked youth, Esquivel following on JB's heels, Xander turned his attention to the traitor, Sims, who had been watching the execution open-mouthed from the side.
Bring Sims around!
Nudging Sims with the butt of his AK-47, the sec man prodded the thin-pale traitor into life. Sims seemed to jolt from a trance and looked wildly around him as he moved to face the Baron. He used one hand to push the long, stringy hair from his eyes, eyes that stared bloodshot and scared at the surrounding crowd, focusing finally once more on the blood and brains that stained the ribbon of asphalt. In the crowd, JB had reached Ollie.
You okay, kid?
What do you think?
I just see, that's what happens when you cross Xander, that's all. He was your friend, I know, but he knew the risks he was taking. It was a gamble and he lost. End of story. Don't end up like him. Mourn losing him, yeah, but learn. You've got a good future. Don't fuck it up.
Dude's right, kid. Later, you can howl your heart out, but don't let anyone see.
Ollie looked at them both and nodded slowly before turning back to the asphalt, his eyes seeing nothing. JB felt a nudge at his elbow. Turning, he found Ella Mae standing there.
The kid okay?
He will be.
He's a good kid. You ain't so bad yourself. I'll be seeing you later.
Ella Mae melted into the crowd, leaving JB to wonder just exactly what she meant. He returned to the front of the crowd near Xander.
You people may be wondering why this man is here. This is just by way of a lesson to y'all. See, this man sold me some hardware that turned out to be faulty. It could have taken out some of my own people, blown up my armory. I paid him a good price in good faith. I let you act as you wish in my will, but I will not accept anything that endangers my people. However, I will not chill this man.
The relief on Sims's face was palpable as Xander holstered the Luger. But then Xander held out his hand. Grant shuffled forward and handed him a spiked ball on a short chain. It was like an old-fashioned mace. Xander had obviously had it made up special. The rough metal ball had been studded with nails, the heads facing out. Xander began to swing the ball, the momentum growing faster and making the chain fly taut. Sims eyed it, shook his head, and tried to take a step back. The barrel of the AK-47 behind him halted his progress. Xander stepped forward, and the arc of the ball was broken by its sudden descent toward Sims's face. A spray of blood spumed from the traitor's cheek as the blow knocked him sideways and down onto one knee. Sims still managed to drag himself to his feet, swaying. Xander swung the mace again, and the nails ripped the man's shirt, raising great bloody welts on his back. Sims fell sideways, and once again the Baron swung the mace, this time slashing the nails into his side. Xander stepped back calmly and handed the mace to Grant.
You tried to take from me, and now I will take something that is precious to you.
Xander took a knife from Grant. JB could see that the blade had been carefully polished and honed. It looked like Toledo steel, and was attached to an ornately carved handle, unlike anything the armorer had ever seen. Xander took hold of Sims by his hair, wrapping the long strands around his hand, and forced him into an upright position. Xander slashed with a blade at the man's hairline, spilling blood down Sims's forehead and into his eyes. The ragged scalp tore into a point, the skin and flesh coming away in the Baron's hand. Xander threw the bloodied scalp onto the asphalt. The Baron gestured to his sec men, and two of them moved from the edge of the crowd and took hold of the semi-conscious Sims. One of the sec men snapped his fingers, and JB was surprised to see a driver get out of the silent wag. He looked like a convoy driver and was obviously nervous as he stared around. The sec man gestured impatiently, and the driver reached into his wag, producing a length of rope. The sec man lashed the traitor to the front of the wag.
Now go, and don't stop until you're a long way from here.
The terrified driver needed no second telling, and he scuttled into the wag. Xander waited until it was out of sight before turning to the crowd.
I want the rest of Sims' party out by nightfall. We know who you are, so don't fuck with us. The rest of you can go about your business.
JB returned to the armory with his shadow in tow to find that Ollie was in the blaster room cleaning a rack of Uzis.
You all right, Ollie?
The youth ignored JB at first, concentrating on his cleaning. Finally, as JB was standing in the doorway waiting for a reply, Ollie looked up and nodded sharply. His eyes met JB's, and the armorer could see that he just wanted to be alone.
I'll check the grands, see if there are any other batches. Maybe re-inventory them.
Bud didn't make an appearance until the late afternoon. Then he did little except berate his son for associating with the likes of Chino. The old man was in a permanent bad mood, and was taking it out on his son as well as everyone else. It made working hard, and when the time came for them to eat in the evening, JB found that he had achieved little during the day.
I need to get out, S. Just get away from here for a while.
It didn't take much to persuade Esquivel, and they soon hit the main part of the ville. Esquivel led JB to the bar they had visited the night before.
Hold it. No, not another strip act. I want to drink, not fight.
2 points. One, Icepick won't have another act for a few days, as it'll take him that long to pay for the damages from last night. 2, there won't be a very big crowd without the show, so it'll be quiet. And I figure someone you'll want to see might drop by and say hello.
That's 3 points.
So I lied a little.
They entered the bar, which was deserted by the standards of the previous evening, but still had several customers sitting around drinking, accompanied by gaudy sluts. Icepick had cleaned up the majority of the mess, but the bar still had the air of a place in need of repair. The giant barman greeted them with a nod and placed 2 glasses of liquor in front of them. LMA walked into the bar.
Listen, I'm going to make myself gone, but not a word to anyone, or I'll end up feeling the rough edge of Xander.
Thanks, but you don't have to put yourself at risk.
I figure you'd do the same for me, but watch your back.
JB was going to respond, but the sec man was already gone.
Hey, fancy seeing you here.
Yeah, just fancy. Icepick, bring the lady a drink.
Was it his imagination, or did Icepick glare at JB as he set the glass down for LMA?
Thanks.
Tell me about yourself, Ella May.
Well, most of me, you already know. My mechanic skills kept me from having to sell myself. I watched my mother drink herself into oblivion because she hated selling herself. There's been plenty of trouble she had from men who couldn't understand that I wasn't for sale.
Suddenly, J.B. realized what Esquivel had meant. Looking around, J.B. could see that he was getting stares, not from convoy members who were drinking themselves senseless at inflated prices, but from Ville dwellers who were drinking in the bar. The realization that Ella May's talking to him was causing friction with the locals made J.B. aware that they should get the hell out as soon as possible. She caught him looking around from the corner of his eye.
Am I that boring?
It's not you I'm worried about.
Then maybe we should go where there's no one else to worry about.
Ella May moved toward the door. J.B. followed, scanning the bar's customers for any potential trouble. There were hostile glares, but no one rose to follow. He followed her through the streets, on the alert for any trouble that might be following on his tail. She led him into her shack.
I think we're alone now.
J.B. stayed her with a gesture, then checked through the window. Satisfied, he turned back to her.
Yeah, now I'll agree.
She moved toward J.B. and put her hands behind his head, pulling him to her until their mouths touched. She was clumsy and hesitant.
It's been a hell of a long time. I'm pretty out of practice, babe.
You're getting the hang of it.
There was something at the back of JB's mind, something that this was triggering. But the thought was gone when she stepped back and took off her shirt, revealing full breasts and a waist taut and muscled from her work.
There are a few more things you might be able to help me practice on.
It was going to be another long night.